It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
The one, the only... Jess Knudsen.
Yo, Paulie.
Your name came up on Friday. Did you know that?
No, my ears weren't ringing. What was going on?
They weren't burning or anything. No smoke, no fire.
No, yeah. No more than usual.
It was all about how to pronounce the word bison.
Okay, yeah, bison.
And I said, Sam Scarmardo got a bison with his tag somewhere near Snowflake.
Okay.
Well, they get like a deer tag.
Yeah.
So,
oh, sure. I didn't know what bison. What is that?
Well, were some imported near the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And their herds grew so much that there was a herd reduction.
Yeah.
I remember doing this story recently, and I guess he got one of the tags and went and got one.
That's so good. That's good meat right there.
That's his newest trophy.
Yeah. Good one.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Bison. Yeah.
Real lean.
Is that like buffalo burgers, you call them?
Sure, yeah, burgers and steaks and all the rest. It's very lean meat and got a nice taste to it as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday, November 9th, 2021, and we're with Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knudsen. Jess, you brought a guest today.
I did, yeah. And the one and only Stuart Schmaling is our Development Services Director for the city and worked for the city for many, many years. So anything with regards to development services or planning or all things building all come through Stuart's office with his team in development services. So we're lucky to have him here today. Thanks for taking the time, Stuart.
And you're too young to retire, by the way.
Yeah, no.
What's that all about?
I just look a little younger than I actually am. But
good planning and good genes.
Yep, that's right.
Good planning, yeah.
Throw money into an account and hope it works for the best.
It looks like he's younger than both of us.
I know, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
I guess softball and poker are the the secrets to longevity.
Yeah, that's right. Softball. Raising three daughters helps keep you young. Yeah.
So that's where the three gray hairs came from.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. All right. So over on the sports station, nothing to report today as far as games that are scheduled. Although there are a ton of college basketball games throughout the country. I don't know if you follow college basketball, but it's all starting
up. It's all starting now. I follow more in March, but it's fun to see it starting. Yeah.
Gonzaga number one, UCLA ranked number two.
Is that right?
Is what I saw.
Okay.
Yeah. So big surprise, Pac-12 team ranked in the top five. So, but tomorrow we have the Suns and the Trailblazers at 7. Ravens at Dolphins, that's on Thursday at 6. And then the Phoenix Suns at Memphis on Friday, that's at 6 p.m. And then Havasu, last regular season game against Yunker. Mm-hmm. The 2-7 Rough Riders against the 6-3 Havasu Fighting Knights, who, if they win this game, I'm pretty sure they are they're going to host the first round playoff game.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%. Are you kidding
me? Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they kind of rolled over Coconino, which was a surprise to me, but I don't know if you saw the game, but pick six.
I missed it.
They were down, I think it was 19-14, and they got a pick six.
Oh.
And then a couple of fumble recoveries. Next thing I know, they got like 45 points on the board. So, yeah.
Go defense.
Go offensive line, yeah. too. They yeah. look really, really good this year. Nice. So, best of luck to the Havasu Fighting Knights who play this Friday. That's on 980 AM and KNTRSports.com only if you follow the Fighting Knights. And then the rest of the games, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. There's also a job fair today across the lake at Havasu Landing. They're in need of cashiers, bartenders, cocktail servers, table games dealers. If you're 21 years old or older and want to work in a fast-paced, fun environment, come to the Landing. The career fair is, the second day is today. The first day was yesterday. That is until 4 p.m. at the Ferry Boathouse. Hmm. We had a very astute guest yesterday who noticed that you could take the ferry over and probably not go very far to the job fair since it's in the Ferry Boathouse.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
So, of course, dress for success. Bring your resume, cover letter, and whatever else you need to score the right job over at Havasu Landing. The number 760-858-4593, extension 7303. So there you have it. We have a couple more to talk about. I know you know about the United Way fundraiser coming up this weekend.
Yeah, the luau, right?
Are you going?
I'll be there. Yeah.
I have a gig, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Can't make on that Saturday night. So, and then Friday night's a little bit of prep. So, anyway, council meeting tonight.
Yeah.
6 p.m. Not affected by the time change.
Right.
Not like our programming on KNTR Talk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and Stuart's here for a big reason.
Yeah, a couple other item on the agenda. A couple items on the agenda that impact development services, but the big one is the request that went through for a zoning change, right, Stu? Went through planning and zoning, and we're talking about the parcel that's furthest to the north, or the first parcel on the right hand side of the road as you're coming driving south into Havasu.
It's a little over 10 acres. It's kind of the forgotten piece, if you will, of that or the original mall plan development.
Mm-hmm. And so we have U-Haul is approached the city and has plans to build a storage complex in that area. Maybe you want to talk a bit more about what they're asking for?
Yeah, that's correct. They're looking at one of their climate controlled buildings that you commonly see in larger communities, Vegas and et cetera. It's a 45 foot tall building, four stories, which the underlying zoning district only allows 25 feet. So they're asking for a height exception of 20 feet. And then the site also is going to include several lower buildings that include 92 mini storage units, which are basically man doors and for furniture and those kind of things, not vehicles necessarily. And then they also have 84, or are proposing 84 covered RV spaces where they're going to have some RV storage as well on that site.
Interesting. Now, the big concern there was the visibility from the highway, correct?
Yeah, that's one of the things. When the Planning Commission held their public hearing, there were several people that spoke against the project, and they mentioned that the visibility from... It basically going to be the first thing that you see when you come to town on the right-hand side of the highway.
Okay. And on the left-hand side of the highway is the airport and the hangars.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I'm not quite sure. How is the city going to address that then on the right-hand side?
Well, the Planning Commission voted 4-2 to deny the application. That's going to council tonight. They'll obviously discuss it and determine whether or not it's appropriate. They could vote either way. I would suggest that the building, given its proposed height of 45 feet, is pretty imposing at that location.
Yeah, 4.5 stories. Sure.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Especially when there's a two-story, what is that, a 30-foot limit in city limits for residential?
No, it's your standard residential height is 15 feet.
Oh, 15.
It's 30 feet around the golf course area.
Okay.
But in commercial, traditionally, it's 25 feet in most most commercial districts.
And they want to go 20 feet over that.
Correct.
So, wow. So are you expecting a big discussion tonight, Jess?
Well, yeah, certainly. I think that, you know, as we look at the different parcels that could be developed that are on the entrance of Havasu, or it's on the north side or south side, then is important. First impressions of our community are very, very important. The ability for the private sector to develop projects is also you know, part of those conversations too. So again, the Planning and Zoning Commission voted for a denial. We've heard from a lot of people in the community about that you know, the height and then that first impression when you come into Havasu. So all those things will be discussed tonight by council, and they'll make the right decision and we'll move on.
This is a request from U-Haul, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, have you talked to either of you talked to U-Haul representatives?
Yes, we've had staff and myself have had conversations with the U-Haul representatives, and they talked at one point after going through the public hearing process at the Planning Commission level. They talked about modifying their plan, maybe reducing some of the buildings, reducing the height possibly, but to at this point, we have not seen any change. I would guess that when they do their presentation before council tonight, if they're proposing any changes or modifications, they'll address those in front of council.
I think I know exactly what kind of building it is, because I've seen you drive into Vegas, there's a U-Haul facility. It looks like
exactly
about four stories. It's probably the exact same plan.
It is.
But how much does the weight of that
commission?
The commission, thank you. How much does the weight of the commission's opinion weigh on the council members?
Well, I would say...
Is it binding?
No. They receive a recommendation from the commission, but what it does is, more importantly, it allows for the public hearing process to take place. So the Planning Commission has the information that we provide them through the applicant. They also have staff's analysis of that situation, and then they also, based on some public comment, they may vote one way or the other. And then the second part of that is council holds their own public hearing and usually ends up getting additional information at that hearing. So one of the elements, obviously, is a staff recommendation and then also the Planning Commission recommendation.
Okay, I see. Let's go ahead and take a short break. And are you expecting anything like that last meeting where it was a midnight?
Well, we only made it to 11.
A midnight affair? 11:45.
We only made it to 11:45.
Close enough.
So the goal tonight is to hit that midnight mark.
You're in the old Carson hour, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break. Some Johnny Cash, of course, by request.
Yay.
Surprised?
Love it.
All right. Yeah. Jessica Knutson, our guest. Lake Havasu City Manager, along with Development Services Director Stuart Schmeling, the almost retired Stuart Schmeling. Hard to believe, right?
Quit. Yeah, for me too.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy.
It's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change.
Hey, Jess, if you ever get a chance... I tried to find it on HBO Max because it's a Cinemax production.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tales from the Tour Bus.
Okay.
Produced by Mike Judge.
Oh.
From Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead fame.
So yeah. It's like real video, but it's animated.
Okay.
So yeah, they animated the video, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, and it kind of goes in and out.
Who are they following?
Well, one of them was Waylon.
Really?
Oh, he was an animal.
On the tour bus, huh?
They talked about outlaw country. And,
okay.
No, it was just people that worked around him and the musicians that worked, and his son was in it.
Okay.
And just the legend of Waylon Jennings. There's one about Johnny Paycheck. There's George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
Okay.
Just these legends.
Yeah.
And the stories that surround them and the people that were there when those stories originated.
Oh, you know? That'd be fun. Yeah.
Pretty
especially
incredible.
That time. Absolutely.
It was incredible. Yeah. So, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springbird Wealth Management, Better Business Bureau. Dane O'Brien was spot on assisting with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to T.O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And our newest sponsor, Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Kevin is located in the Laughlin Town Center, and you can visit their website at laughlinnevada.net. And I don't know if you've seen this, Mr. City Manager, but the Lake Havasu City app is new on the Apple Store and Google Play. You can download, and there's events, there's restaurants, there's Speak Out episodes.
Oh, they have Speak Out episodes on there too, huh?
I believe they're hosted by SoundCloud. But, it's pretty amazing that our little city has its own app.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice, it's very nice.
I think they have like different specials for different restaurants and some of the local businesses
sure.
that are out there. So,
the big,
yeah.
Big banner ads on it where you can click and go to the menu for those restaurants
Perfect.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. A lot of interest right now being generated by that Lake Havasu City app. So now that the bridge is 50 years old, we have our own app, right?
There we go. Yeah.
Perfect. So we talked a little bit about tonight's agenda and the U-Haul storage facility that's proposed and that. And you're telling me now during the break, Stu, that zoning changes are in store for or possibly for storage unit facilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Based on some of the things that we've heard in the last couple of years, the concerns expressed about the number of storage units and the number of properties that were being used, staff put together a proposed amendment to the development code removing storage units as a permitted use within not only the C2 district, which is the one of the districts that that's being discussed tonight, but also the mixed-use general district as well as the commercial Southgate district. And if council or the commission reviewed that a couple weeks back and decided to recommend approval to council for two of those three districts and leave the mixed-use general district intact, council will be reviewing that at their next meeting, not tonight, but the upcoming meeting.
Yeah, November 23rd, the next council meeting. Yeah.
Is that meeting Correct. Still intact, even though isn't that Thanksgiving week?
Yeah, so, yeah that'll be Thanksgiving week, yeah. Yeah.
We're still holding the meeting.
Number of items on schedule for that,
so
that
far.
Agenda. Yeah, number of items scheduled for that that meeting. We did look at canceling that meeting in lieu of the holiday week, but lots of things going on with the city. So it looks like that meeting will be held. Mm-hmm. The second meeting in December, as it get close to that, Christmas week, it looks like we'll be... we won't have a meeting on the second meeting in December, but we will have one the second meeting of this month.
Right. The 23rd, we're actually scheduled to have Mayor Cal Sheehy on the show, and then we'll be dark the 24th, 25th, 26th.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving, as we traditionally are.
Yeah.
Every year. So that's the PNZ meeting next week, correct?
Nope. PNZ already held their hearing.
Oh.
It's the next council meeting at the 23rd.
Yep.
Oh, that's when they consider it.
Yep,
okay.
They'll be talking about that. And the impact that would have potentially is it dramatically reduces the number of properties within the city that you can develop for storage units. If council decides to remove them from all three of the districts, basically the only locations within the city limits that you'd be able to develop storage units would be light industrial and industrial property.
Oh, interesting.
So this would impact mostly C2 zone properties that are on Highway 95.
Yeah, along that corridor.
Yeah.
And the commercial Southgate district is along Highway 95 as well. It's just the Sweetwater-Maricopa corridor on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Liquor license requests. There seems to be plenty of them on the agenda tonight, which could signal actually recovery from the pandemic as well, when you see people that are requesting that action from the city council. I don't ever remember seeing that many on the agenda before, not for a while anyway.
Yeah, it, these are, we had the question, I think, from one of our council members about, why so many on this one, and is there something happening? It's just the, reflective of what's happening in the community. In some cases, we have some new businesses that are opening up, and some cases we have, some that have moved, and moved, locations, and others that, have new ownership with the existing site. So, the poorhouse is on there. I believe that's under new ownership, and that's the also known as the No Name Bar in the downtown.
Oh, right, right.
Was previously, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was previously, yeah. And then the Mustard Seed is applying for a liquor license, and that's the
Old Frankenstein's.
Frankenstein's. Yeah.
Oh, on Swanson.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So looks like there's a new business, new restaurant that'll be opening up at that location. They already have signs on the. On there, I don't know if they're open just yet, but it looks like they're pretty close.
They took Frank down?
Frank's gone,
no
yeah.
No more Frank on the corner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Place to be, I think that used to be on Swanson and then has moved over to Lake Havasu Avenue. The motor and boat food and fuel, the Texaco station that's off of Jamaica. I believe that some new ownership is tied to that. I don't know for sure. I shouldn't even say that because I'm just guessing at that point. And then looks like a wine bar in the downtown, which is a Summer Rae wine bar and local eatery in the downtown area. So
right.
Yeah, those five will be on
five
the,
businesses. Yeah. I mean, that, and they're all new. So or you know
the motor boat and fuel is the same, but the other ones place to be. Is an existing restaurant that moved, but new the other ones are new. Yeah,
that's a pretty good sign for recovery mm-hmm. from the
sure.
pandemic, I would think, especially looking from the city manager's point of view.
I love to see activity. Love to see new places for our residents to go and enjoy, and love to see small businesses thriving in the community. Absolutely, good news.
Right, right. Well, let's take a short break, and I want to talk about. A little bit about the fire equipment
sure.
and the upgrades to that, and then we'll go into something that we talked about the last time you were here, which was Aloe.
Great.
The buzz around town now is the new internet service provider called Aloe Communications.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've gone to their website, which I'm sure you have,
oh yeah,
there's already a pull, Lake Havasu City is already listed in the pull down
mm-hmm.
for rates and that sort of thing. So thought that was really interesting, even though they haven't really started building yet.
Now it's official.
Yeah, definitely official. So we'll be back with more in a moment. We've got Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson and Development Services Director Stuart Schmeling. Is it Schmeling?
Schmeling.
Schmeling. Just like in German, I guess,
just
right?
Like Max Schmeling.
Like
correct.
Max Schmeling.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to Speak Out. Stay with us. So Jess is on the Google trying to find a Conway Twitty song for me. We're going to be passing notes like in school, right?
I'm going to find it.
That was pretty random, by the way.
Yeah, well, a little Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash. Conway Twitty falls right into that.
Stu and I are kind of enjoying the classic rock at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Little old school Aerosmith. So, you know, interesting, but former State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Horn is in town. He's trying to reach me right now, and hopefully we can get him on Speak Out here sometime soon.
That'd be
but,
great.
Speaking to local groups, he'll be in town for a couple of days. But, yeah, that would be great. Always good to touch base with former guests and former leaders in office. So Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, Sun Power by Esme Electric, and the Lewis Team Coldwell Banker with Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And we're back And we had a call off the air, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, but the caller was kind of in and out reception-wise. So feel free to call back. Again, 854-5687. But I want to talk about, you were talking about refurbishments with fire equipment or apparatus, as they call it, correct?
Yeah, so on the agenda tonight, well, we have, so actually the terminology, we, as a city, we have fire engines and we have fire trucks and,
it all falls under apparatus though, right?
Sure, apparatus, yep, equipment.
You talk to Chief Pete.
Yeah. Exactly. The fire trucks are like it's a ladder truck, and those are the real expensive ones. That we need the ladder on the truck to reach, multiple story, buildings in case of a fire emergency. On tonight's agenda, we're looking at the refurbishment of an existing 2007 fire engine, and we had some engines that were purchased by the city a few years back, 2014, 2015, probably time frame somewhere in there, and we bought five all at the same time, and we have some older apparatus, if you will, too, that are in the in the inventory for the city, but we need to identify a plan because we don't have one until Chief Pete showed up and presented us with a plan and how to move forward and how to solve this this topic is how do we incrementally over the course of time look at some replacement of some of our equipment to ensure that we're not purchasing five at once. And one of the ideas that he has is taking a look at is looking at a refurbishment of an existing fire truck. Fire engine. And so a new engine can cost upwards of $800,000 to $900,000 for a brand new one. And one of the approaches is we'll look at some purchases as well, but in this item at the agenda tonight will be a refurbishment of an existing one. We can do that for the contract is for $319,000 as opposed to that $800,000 to $900,000 for a brand new brand new engine, and we think after refurbishment we'll be able to extend the life of an engine by upwards of 10 years.
Yeah, Chief Pete was telling us when he first came in to his position that was like the number one priority was to look at the equipment on hand, and yeah, he was a little surprised to see that upgrades are definitely needed.
Yeah, he came to me and says, what's the plan? And I looked at him and said, turn it back on him. What's the plan? that's what fire chiefs do. And he looked a little surprised and like that we didn't have something in place already. But him and his team have looked at it very closely and identified what we need to do with the revenues and the resources that we have. So we don't want to. We're not wasteful in terms of our approach. So what can we do that's utilizing the taxpayer dollars in a good manner? And he's come to the table about do maybe a refurb and a purchase, maybe every other year as we go by, and be able to identify some funds and our ability to do that. He's applying for grants and trying to offset some of the costs within the departmental budget to make all this happen.
What kind of revenue are we talking about? As far as cost of refurbishment or new engines,
so the refurbishment of the engine tonight will be $319,000. So that's the cost.
And where does that money come from?
That comes from through that was something that we identified through the CIP budget in this last year. So we looked at for the first time in this budget year that we're in right now. Was the first time we were able to address some aging equipment, and we wanted to make sure that we addressed all that. So we're looking at police cars, fire engines, one new, one refurbished is in this year's budget, a handful of police vehicles, some trucks in public works, a couple of pickup trucks in fire as well. We replaced a lawnmower from 2004 or 5 that's been into place, and so that was on the last council agenda. And then it's a little bobcat, toolcat, that gets used on a daily basis in parks. All the equipment and vehicles that we use on a daily basis to provide services, to the community. And it's something we've been pushing off, all those vehicle purchases for a number of years. And, with, the increase in tourism over the last, year and a half or 2 years or so has allowed us to take a look at, replacing some of this equipment, for the first time in a long time.
Look at that, right down to the lawnmowers.
Yeah.
How about that, Stu?
Yeah. Needed.
All right, so we had an update from Allo Communications.
Sure.
Of course, Doc came in, updated the listeners, pretty much took up the whole hour,
yeah,
except for the last 5 minutes when it came to the last council meeting. And Allo looking to come in and, what is it, create some waves, if you will, or, yeah, or internet, yeah, options. And that's right. I talked to somebody who has fiber already in their office. I'm a downtown business, 1,000 up and 1,000 down.
Yeah.
And I guess it's pretty incredible just to have that type of capability.
Yeah, 100% fiber is a technology that allows for some big speeds. And
it actually
and,
be 1 gig up, 1 gig down. That's one, what I meant by 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We look at some speeds right now that for, you know, 200 or 300 megabytes per second is a big deal. When you talk about 1 gig, that's 1,000. And then when Doc was here, he was talking about some speeds of upwards of 10 gig. That's 10,000, as opposed to the 300 that's available in the community, unless you're lucky enough to have fiber, and that's very limited supply in Havasu.
Right.
So, yeah, Allo, as we know, is investing $50 million into Lake Havasu City to build the infrastructure to provide internet, video, and phone service in Lake Havasu City. We're thrilled by that, and I think a lot of that is that we have a new provider in town, but we also are asking for other providers in town to step up and invest in their infrastructure and provide the services that that they can. In the end, our residents will make a determination: do I go with Allo or Wirefree or Suddenlink or any other providers that are out there? And we like options as a city, and we like options as residents.
I think the amazing part too. I put this out to somebody close to another fiber project in the county, and they were really surprised by the rate, $60, $70, the average residential rate for fiber internet, and that was the 500 minimum. 500 up, 500 down, as far as megabytes and bandwidth go. So,
well, let's not give many ideas, Paul. So, if they're listening, it's way too high. Lower your prices.
No, but that's a really, really good rate.
It is a very competitive rate for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And what they're talking about in terms of the infrastructure and the service they provide. I had a conversation with somebody at the Arizona Commerce Authority a couple months back, mm-hmm, who's basically the guru of internet infrastructure within the state, and helps with the fund distributions that are out there, talking about with what Allo was bringing to Havasu. We could be the best internet in the state, or certainly top two is what he indicated to us. So,
well, Doc was saying it's the first market for Allo Communications in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the
right. How lucky are you?
Right, yeah. We were thrilled by that, and we've been, again, we had conversations with them back in March, and making sure we did our due diligence. They are who they said they were, and we had reached out and talked to other cities that they've recently did a similar project, or that have been in business for a lot of years, and we're asking them, tell us what's wrong. Who are these people? Tell us the worst of the worst.
Right.
We couldn't get any complaints that were that to cause any level of concern for us. So we're excited to have them invest in Lake Havasu City.
Do you know where they're at in the process of finding a storefront?
The storefront is they've identified that. So it'll take some a little bit of time to get the tenant improvements and everything in place, but looks like it's going to be over there by Planet Fitness off of McCulloch in that strip mall area.
The old Sears, I think he said?
Yeah.
Right. And the importance of that, folks, is that the infrastructure from Allo kind of goes out from there.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at the storefront. They have to find that before they can actually start the build.
Yeah.
And then you'll see the homes, the businesses around that area, of course, first. If you look at some of their other markets, you'll understand from the maps exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they want to start in the middle of the community and build out from there. So
right. People
ask, well, when's my house gonna, you know, when can I have that service and whatever else too? And there's a whole lot of unknowns there. But you know, essentially that is their in general their plan of attack for building the infrastructure is to start in the middle of the community and build till that works.
Yeah, and the other unknown is the apartments, the condos,
sure,
possibly duplexes, because it has to go fiber to fiber. It can't work with your existing coax.
Right. Yeah.
So that's very important too.
Yeah, there'll be conversations with the different HOAs and different associations within the community. I would assume most of them would, if not all of them, would want to invite them onto their property, but that's their choice.
Is this something, Jess, that you've discussed with Tri-City Council?
We've had some conversations. Now in Bullitt City, they have the co-op up there,
Mojave Electric.
Yeah, Mojave Electric co-op, and they're so they're in a good spot in terms of building internet infrastructure up in their community.
They're partnering for fiber-based internet, right?
Yeah. So great news for Bullitt City in that regard. Conversations with Kingman right now. I think that there was an RFP that was out that came through board member Ligenfelter's office to provide internet services within that area. So I know that that's the process that they're going through in the Kingman area. So a little bit different than what we're doing in Havasu. But both could involve Aloe. They'll go through that selection process in the Kingman area. And I know Alice also talking to Yuma County as well too. When they went out for RFP and on something similar. So yeah,
okay.
Again, a little bit different process for Havasu. Our conversations with Aloe never involved any type of local taxpayer dollars. There was no incentive, financial incentive for them to come to Havasu, and we're working with them as a partner and looking at things the best we can, but. No local taxpayer dollars are part of that $50 million investment that they've identified.
Yeah, pretty impressive company. I did some research. Just Google Aloe Communications.
A-L-L-O.
Mm-hmm. Just like hello in French. Mm-hmm. Hello. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's pretty solid. Their markets are similar in size to Lake Havasu City. The most build they have is in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
So you can see where the size of Lake Havasu City fits right into their plan.
And I think we'll, as residents in the community, we're going to see some Aloe pickup trucks in the community here in the next week or two, much more so than we have in the past. And they're going to be out taking a look at poles and the layouts and walking through different easements and things like that too. So if you see somebody wearing a Aloe shirt, don't shoot them if they're walking in the backyard in that easement.
Right. So last time you were here, you talked about Main Street and the asphalt improvements.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it a big tear up, but or a big dig, but it is what it is.
Sure. Yeah. So council's approved the contract with a contractor to come in, and we're looking at tearing up McCulloch Avenue between Acoma and Smoke Tree, and then replacing that with brand new asphalt. And
are you just going to peel off the Band-Aid, or are you going to do this in pieces parts?
So last night, and I wasn't at the meeting, but so I'm hearing some updates and some feedback that took place, which is what these meetings are designed for. We had our project manager, and then we had Anthony Kozlowski in my office, mm-hmm. Reached out and attended the Downtown Merchants Association meeting. Hopefully I got that to the name of the association correct. And talk to some of the downtown businesses and in terms of timing and how the approach and all the rest. And some of the feedback we got from that group was maybe January is a better time frame. And then looking at November/December time frame for some of these things. So we're going to continue to engage conversations with the local businesses and find out a plan of attack that's going to work for all, or trying to minimize the negative impacts of that construction period as much as we can. So we're talking, we're listening, trying to do the best that we can from that regard. So we'll have a lot more information here in the next week or so about timing.
Yeah, I can't help but think the beginning of the year, too, is also Winterfest for the Chamber.
Yeah, Winterfest.
And they're looking at a big comeback for that event.
I think Winterfest is in February.
Early February.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the we joke a little bit about construction projects, and some of the feedback we get is that is the worst possible time to do that construction project. You're right. Every
is
time
there a good time?
Is
though?
There a good time? It's always a bad time.
Never, right, Stu?
Never. That's correct.
Yeah, and then you get into like the summer months, right? A little slower in terms of the downtown areas and whatever else too. But when we got temperatures of 110, 115, 120 degrees. That wreaks havoc on any type of asphalt project. The temperatures have to be right for us to lay that asphalt, so then it's done right the first time. So,
but do the businesses now, from what you heard last night, do they want to do it all at once, or do you want to do it in pieces, parts?
It sounds like it's ripping off that Band-Aid approach is the best one. Let's get it done. But let's find out that window of time that's going to be the least disruptive to the businesses, and then rip it off, and let's get it done.
What about those streets that are on the side, like your Scott Drive and others like that?
Yeah.
Mulberry.
Yeah.
And those, will those play a big role as far as access goes?
Sure. One of the things we have going for us is that in the downtown, in terms of closing off that street for road repairs, is we have some side streets and some parking obviously available there, and the ability to access the downtown businesses. But we also have all the different parking lots that are in the rear of the businesses in the downtown, so allows for access there. So, you know, it could be a whole lot worse in terms of what that looks like. But Havasu, we're very much creatures of habit, and if you're used to parking in front of that that store every time you go get your haircut, then we're going to hear about it when you have to park in the rear of the building and walk to the front. But again, so we're just trying to minimize the best we can, but. We are certainly creatures of a habit here in Havasu.
Yeah, this is not your resurfacing or anything. We're talking about a whole new layer of asphalt, a whole new substrata. Everything is going to be new as far as that road goes. What's the lifespan on something like that, Jess?
Well, and then the lifespan on a project like that is I think the easy way to say it is you know, 10 years.
Okay.
But then we can come back and do different seal coatings and different other treatments and applications that then extend that that infrastructure for you know, another 3 to 5 years right. As we go forward. So you know, we're hoping to get to 20 years when it's all said and done, but you gotta maintain it after it's laid as well too. So
I was trying to get to the point, and we have a phone call, but I was going to ask you what's life after the city, Stu, but we'll take a phone call first. You can think about that.
All right.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, this is kind of off topic. I work for the utility here in Kingman, Arizona. And I know it's going to be affecting Lake Havasu City as well. When this vaccine mandate goes into effect, a lot of the linemen that work in your local communities that don't want to take the vaccination are already starting to look for jobs outside of Kingman and Lake Havasu City where they're not forcing the mandate. I was wondering if any of the local politicians have brought that out and let the local residents of this community know that come the first of the year, it's this mandate is going to affect them more than the airlines and more than gas prices if we don't address this on a local level, all right. The way up to the state level.
Can I get you to listen off the air, sir?
Yes, I'm on my...
Right.
I sure will.
Can I get you to listen on the radio?
Thank you.
All right, because we're winding
Thank
it up.
Thank you.
What's your comment to that, Jess?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the concern. We're not talking about Kingman or Havasu or Mojave County. We're talking about you know, the country in terms of what that looks like. I haven't heard any employers, local government, cities, county, or otherwise that's talking about that mandate as far as the employees and the organizations, Havasu included, and. There's some news that's out there right now about the stay that came down from the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's also some there's a memo from the Industrial Commission here at the state level that's talking about they aren't looking to enforce any type of the mandate that would come through. OSHA would be the enforcement arm, and in Arizona, it's the Industrial Commission that is in charge of OSHA. So,
right.
You know, I think it's something to be concerned about, and it's something to take a look at. But there's a whole lot more of the news to unfold before it's all said and done. And again, as far as from Havasu City's perspective, let me say this: is that we trust our employees to make the right decisions.
Well, all I can say is after the Fifth District, the federal court. Decision. It looks like it's going to end up in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour. And Stu, great to have you on.
Thanks.
Hope we could get you on before the retirement party.
Yeah.
Or maybe during. We could do a live broadcast at the retirement party.
A Speak Out remote from the Stu Schmaling retirement.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So a little Conway Twitty by request. What? I know, he's killing us today, right?
Yeah.
I could do Beastie Boys, but really, dude? Conway Twitty.
Well, we gotta play it, and then next time I'm here, we gotta play Cheat and Fire, is the song, so yeah.
You're cheating heart?
Cheating fire.
Cheating fire.
Cheating fire by Conway Twitty. Oh, come on, man. You gotta,
We got to play that one next time. Come on, man. All right. We'll come back with a final shot in a moment. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you, sir. Thank
City
you.
Manager Jess Knutson and Development Services Director Stuart Schmaling. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you, to keep you safe with me.
Don't let the clock run out on the 2021 solar tax incentives. The calendar at SunPower by S. May Electric is already filling up. After all, they're the SunPower master dealer that does five times as many solar installations as anyone else in Mojave County. Save about $8,000 on the average system with federal and state tax credits. Contact SunPower by S. May Electric for a free estimate before the clock runs out. Go to solarbyesmay.com.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. On tomorrow's show, Nikki Nickel from the Havasu Chamber of Commerce, also Esme Electric, will be here as well. Normally, we would go into Speak Out 2.0 with Larry Tuneforce, but Larry's lollygagging this week, from what I understand. So no Larry. We'll go into Dennis Prager after news and a short break. Brian Springberg on Thursday, Ron Gould on Friday. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.